segment 3 of our Open Line Hour, which brings us to our weekly how-to. It's something that we've implemented to help keep up with our daily, weekly maintenance that our homes require. And if we can just tackle a task a week, we can stay on top of the maintenance of our home instead of getting buried under these huge lists. And this one relates to energy efficiency, because now's the time to do something about our energy consumption ahead of the heat and our high summer bills that are coming. And y'all are going to be flooded, not necessarily on Rosie on the House, but everywhere you look, somebody's going to have something new. They're going to try and sell you. They're going to try and convince you is going to be your end-all answer to the key to your electric bill. Like, there's some Pandora's box that's been opened. But we've got Dave Burns from Green ID to join us to kind of just settle everyone down. We had given an equation last week, Dave, that what can you expect on your high summer bill? If you're looking at a 1,000-square-foot home, what should your high summer bill be?
It should be around $100 per 1,000 square feet. So if you have a 2,000-square-foot home, your high bill, if it's around the $200 mark, you're in pretty good shape, and that's what we're shooting for.
We could lower that bill, but to what expense? And What's the return that's going to pay out? What if we drop his bill to 170? How much is that going to cost? His payout, return on an investment, is going to probably outlive his life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can only squeeze so much water out of that rock. And so if you're a lot higher than that $100 per 1,000 square foot mark, there's good opportunity for savings, a lot of low-hanging fruit. If you're close to that mark, it's going to be tougher to squeeze some savings out.
Unless we just turn off the electric switch, and how long are you going to live like that?
Yeah, if you're the only house on the block that's all dark at night, then you're probably saving some good money, but at what expense?
So if you're over that threshold, the biggest consumer of electricity during the summer months, for the obvious reasons, is our air conditioning system. And you've put together an observation on the ductwork designs over the decades leading back to the 60s. So what we're going to do here is just go through what the homeowners in each of those decades can expect. So at the point, you know, they see that their energy consumption is way out of whack, what's likely the cause if it's related to their ductwork?
Sure, yeah. We'll
diving back to the 60s here.
Yeah, let's start in the 60s where no central air conditioning was going on. We had swamp coolers in our ranch-style homes, trunk metal ductwork with a sunken ceiling in the hallway. And on these homes, we find that the swamp cooler duct just may still be hooked up in the attic. The swamp cooler may be long gone, but that ductwork may still be hooked up and causing a lot of leakage in the system every time the heat or air comes on.
And the duct sizing for evaporative coolers is a whole lot different than an air conditioning system.
Yeah, a swamp cooler is going to put out a whole lot more air. And so they size the ductwork appropriately, and then when they converted to your central air conditioning, that kind of got out of whack. So if you have hot rooms in an older home with the swamp cooler, that could be from the duct sizing.
And is that a hard repair? Is that just access to the attic to install proper duct?
Usually it's on the return side where it's most messed up. And so if we could fix the return where you change your filter, that's going to be the key, because when we measure airflow, the supply side is typically good. The return side, our return static pressure, is going to be pretty much the top five culprit on older homes.
So, which is not an intrusive repair.
No, it's not. It's not that bad to upsize the duct or add another return into the house.
So as we move into the 70s and we're getting away from evap cooler being the mainstream.
Yes, we went to some flex duct, and gray ductwork was installed, which has since been outlawed. So if you take a peek in your attic and you see gray ductwork, it's probably fallen apart, and there's a reason why it's outlawed. These homes also had some health and safety issues. I put in this list, like if you have a gas water heater in the same room as your dryer, that's a safety hazard in terms of carbon monoxide coming in the house. You want to make sure you have a good carbon monoxide detector in those rooms and a couple other places around the house. And then also just open wall chases along the hallway in the house where your ceiling sinks down. Those wall chases are typically open to the attic, is what we find in homes built in the 70s or 80s. If we go to the if your home was built between 1980 and 1990, they did start using piggyback swamp coolers. That could cause a lot of duct leakage and also undersized ductwork. So what we were talking about with the returns being too small, the unit is going to be starved for air. It's trying to like breathe through one straw. It's just going to suck a whole lot of air through a small hole, and it's not going to make the unit work right. It's going to be really loud, and it's
going to deteriorate the lifespan of it.
Yes, yeah. You'll get quicker component failure with an undersized return. And then if we get more recent, so homes built in the 90s and 2000, I have a home built in 95, and fiberglass bat insulation was used a lot then. And bats are notorious for being installed wrong. If you think of the fiberglass bat like a blanket, the blanket's got to touch your skin to keep you warm at night. And the bat has to be installed properly, which means it's got to touch the attic floor 100% to get the proper R value to work right. If that bat is a couple inches off the attic floor, like it's sitting on top of a can light or on top of an electrical wire, it's like having a blanket a couple inches off your skin. It's not going to do anything. And that's
a great analogy. And when you think of all the different penetrations that are in our ceilings up into the attic, you know, you calculate 3, 4, 6, 8, 12 of those, your energy percentage loss starts to increase pretty rapidly.
Yes, yeah. And that's a nice night and day difference if we can fix that with homes with fiberglass bats. And then the continuation of bad flex duct would be undersized ductwork was still a problem in the 90s. They started using a lot of Y-splits in the attic. So let's say you have a room that's the furthest away from the unit, and they may have a Y-splitter four times before the duct ever goes to that room, which adds an extra 60 feet of duct length to that system. So the unit has to work that much harder to push air to that room. And it's just a bad design. In homes built post 2000, 2000, 2010, it's those Y-splitters that we see, and just undersized returns are probably our number one, number two culprit, along with bad duct design. Duct leakage would get up there also.
And a lot of that, it's the contractor and the installer's responsibility for it, but the technology was changing so fast that the best practices weren't always keeping up with real time when these installs were being put into the home. The technology and the industry weren't moving at the same pace.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And the trades weren't talking with each other either. You had your framers doing their job, and once they finished, then you had your AC installers, electricians. None of them were talking with each other saying, hey, these bats.
Some still don't.
That's true, yeah. It's getting better, though. It's getting better.
Just understanding how the insulation integrity works and not messing that up or displacing it to run their wires or...
Exactly, yeah. It's like, hey, guys, we're going to run a duct down to the first floor on a two-story home. We need this duct chase sealed off from the attic. And just talking to the trades can go a long way, and that wasn't done until recently. New homes are in better shape. The energy code has gotten stricter. We'd still find some defects, but I wouldn't call them major defects like we had in the 90s or before. Some things we find in new homes are baffles weren't used when they did the insulation. So you have some wind washing where the insulation vents in the attic will blow the insulation back a foot or two off the perimeter of the house. And then under insulation is actually more common, I'd say, because insulation contractors don't want to insulate to, they consider the drywall part of the R value. And so if your code is R30, they'll blow up to R26, and then say the drywall is another R4, and they short the homeowner from day one.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
So that is your weekly home maintenance to-do. It's to schedule a home energy audit, and there's a preview of, depending on the age of your current home, what you may be able to expect to see in your ductwork, which is, generally speaking, the biggest energy hog in our home. And with an energy audit, the benefit, you know, you may not be able to do something about it today. You may not be able to do something about it next week. It may take you a year or two to save up if you want to do this cash out of pocket to have these improvements done. But you get a roadmap to what the biggest energy hogs in your home are, so you know which ones to strategically attack first. And if you really do this right, after that first install is done and you see the difference in your energy consumption, you take that savings and you use that and put it aside for these other improvements. And that's a way that you can start using your energy saving to pay for the all these little improvements we can do on our home. Because, I mean, they really are endless if we really want to get nitpicky. The return may not always be there in a short-term manner, but there's nothing wrong with using our energy savings to invest in long-term payoffs to, you know, cut it down another 0.5%, 2%, 10%. You just do 20 things that save you 0.5%. Well, there's 10% right there.
Sure. And that's what we do in the audit, is give them that roadmap on what's the biggest bang for the buck, what a homeowner can do for themselves, manage their time of use, or switch off that recirculation pump, what we could do and take advantage of the APS and SRP rebate program.
And what is that program?
So they sponsor rebates for making a home energy efficient. APS and SRP give rebates on insulation, duct sealing a house, shade screens, a high efficiency AC unit. And it's all after this audit is done to identify what's the biggest bang for your buck. The audit normally costs $99, and for today's segment, we will give Rosie on the House callers a $50 Visa card if they call our office and let them know that they heard us on air.
Excellent. And somebody would schedule a home energy audit with Green ID at?
They could call our office at 602-926-1650 or visit our website at yourgreenid.com.
You can also type in Green ID to the keyword at Rosie on the House and get David's partner page. It's got his number and all that contact information there as well. So any of those ways you get to them, schedule that home energy audit, and let's take the next step to getting our homes energy efficient. If you're looking for an efficient way to keep critters out of your landscape, Bonide has the answer for us with their Repels All. Anything that burrows, whether it's a skunk or a squirrel or a chipmunk or a raccoon, whatever part of the state you live in, Repels All will work for those burrowing animals. All natural ingredients in Repels All you smell, but be a good neighbor. Get enough Repels All for your neighbor so you don't just stick them in their yard and create a problem for them to deal with. Repels All's natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, even edible crops. It works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and structures. It's so effective, your satisfaction is guaranteed from Bonide. It's also available in a concentrate, ready-to-use or ready-to-spray formula, easy granular for a 3-pound shaker or 6-pound bag for whatever you're trying to repel them away from. Bonide will have you covered. You can find Bonide all over the state at Treeland Nurseries in Mesa, Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, or Summer Winds in Phoenix. Find a local retailer at Bonide.com.